Good morning, Trinity. Good to see each of you this day. We're glad that you're here. It's a day the Lord has made, and we're glad in it. We have a Vet Memorial Day this weekend. We celebrate and give thanks for those who gave up the ultimate price serving our nation, and we certainly remember them as we worship today as well. A couple of cards in the front packet. Please make sure if you're with us as a visitor or a member, the blue one for prayer request and tells you a little bit about our communion and to let us know that you're even here. And then also, we'd also ask you to be aware of any prayer requests you might have. So God's blessings, and let us come across the aisles and welcome one another. Thank you. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have... Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for us. And for his sake, we forgive you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the fountains of the thresholds shook at the voice who called. The house was filled with smoke, and I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves now know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make a full of gladness with your perseverance. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witness. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for this Trinity Sunday is recorded in the book of St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Before we begin, we have our essayist, and I'd like to invite Haida up at this time. I'd like to, Haida, as you come up, I'm going to ask, family, do you think you could stand up maybe right here just for a minute so we could know who his family is? And Haida, just here, let me move my stuff. And if you could just stand and face the congregation, and could you introduce your family to us?
Okay.
Because you're going to get to hear about his family in his essay. So, if you would.
So, the tallest person in my family is Alana. The small one is Nina.
Say it in the mic.
The oldest is Letta, and my mom is the one in the pink and red scarf.
Okay. Okay, and I want you to listen to his story. It's a story of their faith, their family, going through a journey of faith. And so, blessings, I think you'll enjoy this essay. And you guys can be seated, but thank you. And I think you're going to enjoy this story too.
Most of you know my face, not my name. Or you know my name, and not my story. Nonetheless, everyone's views of me are tainted or questionable. Because you don't know me. Today, however, I'm willing to tell you all about myself. Let's start with the basics. My name is Hedwit, proud member of the lovely DeWitt family, who have been regular attendees here at Trinity and have been since 2009. I was born in Barentu, Eritrea, which is located in East Africa, just above Ethiopia, on February 17th, 2005. When people look at me up here, they see a Christian that attends church every Sunday, a young man who is always joking around and can be found helping out around the church. But like everything else, there's more than what meets the eye. A lot like faith, I am very versatile and have led a very adventurous life. Faith is often a very controversial and complex topic, but to me, faith is not just a topic of conversation or table talk. It is something entirely different. Faith is what kept my family and me alive on our journey to America. Faith is what got my parents jobs after my mother was told her college degree meant nothing here. Faith is what keeps me going still today. Growing up, God has always been a part of our lives. Being Lutheran and my father being a preacher, the church community basically lives inside my siblings and I by now. Although the Lord lives inside us, that does not mean we don't always sin. Every day of our lives, we deliberately go against the word of Christ and ask him to forgive us. But today isn't about how terrible we are. It's about all the Lord does for us, and he certainly has done a lot for my family and I. Growing up in Eritrea was like a dream, or so I heard. Fresh air, breathtaking nature scenes, and genetically modified free foods. Due to my time there being short-lived because I was young before we left, but according to my family, we had all that we could have ever wanted. Beautiful homes, a loving and safe community, and many farms with all the little animal friends we could make. My mother was a math teacher, and she loved her profession almost as much as she loved her students. My father was a successful preacher, so be that as it may, we all got baptized in his church. And to this day, that moment in my life signifies such great importance for me, because to me, baptism indicates that pouring of the holy water onto a child brings about the forgiveness of sins and admission into the church community. My father was also a well-known and adored man in the political scene, but due to unfortunate circumstances and complications with the government, we were forced to flee. We left everything behind. Family, friends, our farms, and the house we built memories and grew up in, gone in the blink of an eye. That night we said goodbye to everyone we knew, loved, and left. All through the night, we, my two sisters and I, who at the time were all younger than toddlers, several cousins and my parents ran, knowing all the dangers that lie ahead, knowing that we could all possibly die. If we were to get caught, my family would not be standing here before you all. Having three small children, all capable of making noises randomly, crying when in need of something, being a liability to our journey, certainly was not making our case better at all. But nothing stopped my parents' faith and prayers. I can't speak for everyone, but to me, prayer is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. And that's exactly what it symbolized for my parents as they thanked him for the courage to carry on, even though the road awaiting us led to a dangerous fate. But to this day, it remains that way. Strong prayer and even bigger faith. With all that to consider, we ran with soldiers bordering the country and danger at every turn. One day we were face first with that danger when we came face to face with one of the soldiers. We from there were sent to a refugee camp in which my parents had to work day and night to pay off their debt. Whilst there, we were fed scraps and had mildly horrid living conditions. After several months there, we were finally able to leave. So we headed to the next best thing at the moment, Ethiopia, which for most who don't know is the country located at the Horn of Africa, where the oldest Bible resides and where I grew up to know as home. While in Ethiopia, we had nothing, few family, no money, and very rigid and horrendous living conditions. But that wasn't enough to stop my parents with their faith. Immediately they took action. My mother and the few female cousins all baked and sold traditional goods to give us a stable income, whilst my father and the males took care of fixing the house and giving us proper water, gas, fire, you know, the works. Eventually, we were old enough to be sent to school. We all attended school, which was about a good 30-minute walk from our house. But to our parents, education meant everything, which is why we came here to America. My mother, after seeing the living conditions, put her children's future before her needs and made the executive decision to come to America. See, back home, after high school, females would go and be housewives, whereas males were forced into the military, and knowing that our fate led to just those limited options kept her up at night and made her crazy. After 3 years in Ethiopia, my mother finally said, enough is enough. And with our documents allowing us to leave, nothing would stop her from giving her children a valid education and a chance at a future of their choice. So once again, we said our goodbyes and came to the land of the free, where my family was split all across America. The cousins who ran with us were separated from us and sent to various parts of America and even the world. We came to Florida, and once again, that nothingness was back. No jobs, no home, and no money. Thankfully, being refugees gave my parents a slight advantage of getting help. Through our good God, we were given a small but homely apartment, and for two months, they were given assistance until they were able to find jobs. We again were immediately enrolled in school and daycare. Not to brag, but my sisters and I were all able to learn the language within a year, here with little to no assistance, because our language is not widely spoken and very unheard of. And through it all, he was there. I've never been one to argue with anyone about my religious preferences, because I myself and the people who I are more than blessed to call my family are living proof of God's work here on earth. One of my personal favorite Bible verses would have to be 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which states, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. What most atheists don't understand is if the universe was made by two gases colliding, then who or what put those gases in motion? That's why I believe that God created the universe. Also, what this means to me is that when we received the Word of Christ, we treated it as something special, which is what communion exemplifies. Before communion was ever a thing, Jesus broke the bread at the Lord's Supper. The night Jesus was betrayed, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And then he took the wine and said, "Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." This means to me that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he shared the first communion with his disciples. Communion to me isn't only getting our sins forgiven, but also trusting our faith enough that we allow ourselves to let go of the hurt that people have instilled in us and learn to forgive. On the topic of forgiveness, does anyone else here believe that they would be able to forgive a whole village that has conspiracized against them and led them to a slow and painful death? Well, me personally, I'd be very livid. After all I've done for them, curing the disabled, to large tasks like when Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, to show that not even death can limit my powers, or the time I preached as a child showing my vast knowledge, they just up and stand with my killers. Well, while we may not be able to do so, there's one man who has been through all these same events and still had an abundant amount of love in his heart for those people. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for our sins so that all our sins may be forgiven. And quite frankly, if he is able to forgive actions as reprehensible as such, I think we're more than capable of letting small and irrelevant things go for that sake of us and others, all things considered. Through our adventures and the passing of time, we have learned that when we believe, God will always provide. For that, I'm not a Christian because I was born into a Christian family. I'm not a Christian because my parents say I am. I'm not a Christian because everyone else is and I don't want to feel left out. I'm a Christian because God is real. He has never let me down. He has never left me lonely. And greatest of all, he has never turned his back on me or gave up on me, despite all the mistakes I make and continuously make. So when people ask me, am I a Christian or do I believe in God? There's only one thing to say. Am I alive?
Can I
say like a couple of things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Go ahead.
But in closing, I'd like to thank you all here for being a part of my family, not just my church family, but my family. You've all been nothing short of kind and accepting to my family and I. I'd like to personally thank Pastor Billy and Pastor Moore and his wife Lisa for always checking up on us and making sure we were okay, or calling when we missed a service to ensure we were fine. Trinity, I love you all. Thank you.
Didn't know you had that part. Well, Hedda, before you talk off here, take off. How many languages do you speak?
I only speak one.
How old were you when you left Eritrea?
I was only 2 years old.
2 years old. And how many languages do you speak in your home? She speaks five. Tagalog, one of them? What's that? I didn't hear. Two? Okay. Well, when we start to think about this family's plight and really the travel you did with almost the loss of life several times, I thank you for your witness. It is a witness of a family and a mother that loved her children and a father that loved you, and the trek that you were on for your faith, because this was a civil war of unrest, much of which was over the Christian faith by those that did not want Christians to live. So I welcome you and I thank you for sharing this essay with us. I have to ask you a question. I ask everybody else. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? God's blessings. You already confirmed, but it's great to have you with us. Thanks. And good job. We continue our service with the singing of our hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from Acts chapter 2, the second lesson of today, and if we could have the slide up for that, that'd be great. This Trinity Sunday, we're going to be able, in a few moments, be able to say in the common Christian faith, this Sunday in the words of the Athanasian Creed. And that means, if you're a confirmand, that's the long one. There we're going to be able to understand the personal relationship of Christ Jesus with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that was enjoyed from eternity and without beginning and without end. We also realize that from this text of Acts 2 comes the Pentecost account of what happened some 50 days after Easter. A church had begun, the Christian church, our church. In that very city, the death of Jesus had occurred, crucifying Christ as a common criminal some 50 days earlier. As a church planter and former mission exec, I just remind you that if we were looking for places to plant a new church, Jerusalem would not have been one of those. They had killed Jesus. The community was hostile, and the soil for planting churches was poisonous. Or so you would think. But something else had happened. Something very special had happened. Jesus had risen from the dead and had changed everything. Jesus had defeated death and cheated the grave of its victory. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything in our world and our life too, as we look at things that seem to be so big and overpowering and overwhelming that we cannot come over to that situation and think that we're going to have any victory. But it is the power of God at work in His church and in His people that allows us to have faith and to trust when the tough gets going. To say that we still have solutions and answers that will come from Him, the Lord of His church and the Lord of our life. We remember also in this Pentecost account that God the Spirit had shown up this day, appearing as flames of fire, dancing on top of the apostles' heads. They were also mysteriously speaking strange languages unknown before then. Strange languages that allowed all the people who had gathered to hear in their own languages someone speaking their native tongue. How God the Father had also prophesied this would happen in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Peter records and says, as he quotes from there, he said that the God, the Holy Spirit, would pour out His Spirit upon His children, and they would give utterances of God. And that's what Peter attributed the dancing flames and the tongues where the people were hearing in their own dialect and language the things of God, of Christ and His resurrection. Today, as we sit and think of Trinity Sunday, the reason we have an Athanasian Creed that was written and recorded and developed by the church over the first 5 centuries of the church was simply because people were getting confused over this person, Jesus. Who he was, what he had done, and who his authority and power were. If we would look at the reading inside of our hymnal, we'll see a little bit of an explanation. But what it says there in the hymnal is that around the 4th and 5th, the 5th century, late into the 4th, actually what we saw was we were starting to see some variant teachings going on. Well, in the 5th century, one named Arius, a pastor from kind of the area you're talking about, in Eritrea and Ethiopia, an African pastor, who thought he was a believer in Christ, but he denied Jesus his divinity. He denied him his true salvation characteristics that we have commonly beheld and relied upon in the Christian faith. Today that is kind of expressed in Jehovah Witness theology. The Athanasian Creed is all about us understanding who Jesus is. So Peter, here in this text, says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, A man attested to you by God in mighty works, wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. While you were there, while you were watching, that you heard about. The water into wine at the Cana feast, at the wedding. Also the feeding of the 5,000 of Jesus in the wilderness with a few loaves of bread and two fish. Jesus calming the storms and making the seas calm. Jesus walking on water. Jesus making the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk, the leper to be cured, and the dead to be raised. These are but a few of Jesus' miracles. John writes in the end of his gospel that these things are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in his name, you have life everlasting. These miracles have been recorded so that you may know that Jesus is the Christ. And if these miracles were all recorded, not even the books of the entire world could contain them. That's a lot of miracle. As you yourselves know, Peter continues, this Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified him and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for Christ to be held by death. Peter again says, to you and to me, you yourselves know that God had Jesus delivered up. It was according to his plan, his purpose and foreknowledge. He knew what was going on. He knew how it was going to come down. But you crucified and killed him. You. Through the hands of lawless men, the Romans. You and your leaders, as you cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But God, he raised him up on the third day, Peter writes. God loosened the strings of death that had entangled his son, because death could not defeat him, the grave could not hold him, and the raw resurrection power of God would release him and give us the victory over sin, over death, over damnation, and over the devil. Peter then, quoting from a psalm about David, King David, asks, is this not what was prophesied by David? Foretold hundreds of years ago? I saw the Lord, David writes, always before me. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh also will dwell in hope. My friends, there's a lot of times David in his life was really, really in deep waters. There's a lot of times that I know you and I get into deep waters in our life. As I read the history of Trinity, there have been a lot of times that Trinity has been in deep, deep waters. But it was the Lord who was always before them. And before us, he is at our right hand, and we will not be shaken. That's what David wrote under the inspiration of God. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and I will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul. Now, this is speaking of Jesus, my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One, that's Jesus, see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence. Jesus from the cross realized all of these things, that God would not abandon him, forsake him, or let his Holy One see corruption. Hades would not hold him. Decay would not defeat him. But Jesus would have the ultimate victory, making known the paths of life that would come through the death of Christ, that would lead to the rivers of life for all of us. You and I will be made full of gladness, even as Christ, who received the cross first, but through the cross came to the crown and understood that the victory was his, was extended to us. Even amidst the horrors of death on a cross, Christ would not be abandoned to the place of the dead. His body would not decay, but more importantly, although Christ took upon himself the sins of the world, yours and mine, His holiness was more complete than the corruption of the world's sins. And it was entirely conquered and removed from him to us and forgiven both for what had happened because of the blood of Christ's cross shed for you, for me, and for us. It seemed to those gathered, witnessing the Pentecost, that all of this was according to God's plan. But they realized and had that nagging, gnawing fact and feeling that they were responsible. They had killed the Christ. And they were the one who had crucified the Son of God, sent to save them. Our text tells us that they were cut to the heart. That's pretty deep. That's pretty serious. And they asked Peter and all the apostles with them, "Brothers, what shall we do?" You know, you and I may find ourselves asking, "What shall we do?" We ask, are we not like them? Have not my sins, my shortcomings been the cause of Christ's death? You, like them, may be crushed and cut to the heart and even ask, what shall I do? But I want you to listen and to learn from the words of Peter, which said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of faith that rests on and relies upon Jesus Christ in any and all circumstances. What does that word repent mean? Repent, there's four A's. First one, accept you're responsible for the sin. Don't blame others for what you've done or why it was left undone. Accept your responsibility for it. Acknowledge the sin. The third A, accept God's free gift of forgiveness. It will cost you nothing, although it cost Christ everything. Walk away from those sins, and by the power of Christ at work in you, yours will be the victory. For Jesus says, if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the free gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. And you hear that voice of that little one? It's for him and her too. As we start to look at next week, we're going to be having three baptisms up here. That promise is for them. This promise is for these children coming up this next weekend. Jerusalem seemed to be a poor place to plant a church, a Christian church, but in the end, it was a perfect place. 3,000 people were baptized that day. Their life was forever changed, eternally as well. A few chapters later, we'll actually get to meet a man by the name of Saul in the book of Acts. He seemed also to be an unlikely candidate to be a Christ follower, since he was trying to kill and persecute Christians as well as Christ's church. But God had his way with Saul when he met him on the Damascus Road, and he converted Saul. Paul came to faith. And today we note that nearly two-thirds of the New Testament were written by this one named Saul, who became Paul. We also realize that out of all the churches that were planted through the known world, most of them were planted by Paul. You may also be saying, I'm kind of like Paul. I'm an unlikely candidate for this to be a Christ follower. I've stumbled in my faith. I've fallen short. You know, I haven't measured up to God's standards, let alone even mine. You know the gigantic size of sins and the gulf that separates you from him. But I want you to hear Paul's words. They're words spoken to you and to me. It's a trustworthy and true statement, says Paul, that Christ came to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I'm foremost. I want you to know, my friends, no matter where you're at on God's team, we're all sinners. But I want you to know Christ came to save you. And if you're asking the question, what should I do? It's simple. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. And realize God will give you the Holy Spirit with it. I grant you a strengthening of your faith. And so in His name, may God bless you on this journey called faith. Amen. Please stand. On this Trinity Sunday, we invite you to share our common expression of faith expressed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, page 319. You'll need to open your hymnals. The hymnals are the ones with the cross on the front cover, page 319. We would remind you that when we speak of the Catholic faith or the Catholic Church, we're speaking of the one true faith, the one true church. That's what Catholic means. Page 319. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this: that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son. And such is the Holy Spirit, the Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated, the Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinities, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the church to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages. And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again on the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning to their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, for we give you thanks for your baptismal waters of grace that washed us clean, washing and regenerating and renewing us, that your Holy Spirit was present then as it is now daily in our lives. We thank you also for moving us to stir in our hearts a desire to repent, to be made right with you, not by our actions, but all through yours, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray for wisdom for our church, for this second century of ministry that we are embarking upon soon. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us wisdom as leaders and as pastor, and with the membership of this congregation, to build upon the foundation of ministry that has been laid by our ancestors, that were guided and directed by you. May you also allow us to be encouraged for the path ahead, and to face with boldness and courage the future that is before us, knowing that you will lead that way as well. Lord, in your mercy, be also with our school, dear Lord. Help us as church and school to make disciples here in this place and in the school place. Help us to be about teaching and learning the things of your will. Help us to walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy. And now we hear the prayers that have been gathered.
Dear Heavenly Father, the congregation asks for praise and supplication for the following. For Dolores, she is elderly, Heavenly Father, and fell and cut herself. Be with her, guide her, help her, and protect her. For Carolyn, Carolyn is recovering from falls and bruises that she had. Be guide her and help her. I also ask your blessing on Parker. Parker, give him safe traveling. He is hiking through the Appalachian Trail. Keep him safe and guide him and give him your love, dear Heavenly Father. For Katie, congratulations on the upcoming high school graduation. Guide her always and keep her protected when she's in college. For John and Dan, as they travel through Ecuador, give them peace and understanding and a safe travel, dear Heavenly Father. For Hannah, Dana, and Jonathan, for safe traveling this weekend as they are traveling through this country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And we now pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord and Savior, we also remember all those who fought and even sacrificed their lives. We give you thanks for them, and we ask that you would bless their families, giving them also a peace that surpasses all human understandings. Lord, in your mercy. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had supped, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good afternoon, Trinity. It is afternoon, yes.
Thanks, Ted, for pointing that out.
Next Sunday, June 3rd, is Make a Joyful Noise Sunday, both at the 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. There's still opportunity for anyone who thinks they can sing or can sing to join in the Everybody Choir. There's information in the narthex, but get a hold of Paul Soust or Glenda Fraser, and you can participate. So their goal is to fill the entire balcony and have a great time singing at two services next week. The Vacation Bible School Shipwrecked is June 18th through 22nd, and most of the supplies and the volunteer spots have been filled. This VBS is for rising kindergartners through sixth graders, and registration is now open for that. They're expecting over 100 kids to participate. There are a few supplies and a few volunteer spots. I think three spots, it says, that are still not filled. But most things have been taken care of. But if you'd like to participate or provide any of those needs, you're welcome to do so. There's information in the weekly, and there is a June 3rd training meeting for that. There's three dates on the calendar. Monday, June 11th, the Campus Development Task Force will be meeting right here to talk about the campus planning activities. And June 25th, that is also a Monday evening at 6:30, we'll have a regular voters assembly for elections and to look at the annual budget. And then June 30th and July 1st, that weekend at all services, the comfort dog, there's a passing ceremony, and apparently there will be a comfort dog here at that time, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. That's all.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.